Welcome back to the program, The Good Oil for Penrite today. Penrite Oil is Australian owned and trusted for more than 90 years. You can visit penriteoil.com. Brian Windhorst very shortly. Mike Sheehan out of 8 o'clock. It's been a very big night, overnight sport here. We had the Australians taking on the USA team. That's what we're going to talk to Brian about. And we had Test cricket being played over in England.
That's right. And we woke up this morning and it was all negative about the basketball last night and how outraged fans were, in particular Russell Crowe. And we've already played a little bit of him. He stood up at the basketball last night, what he had to say. Apparently he's going back again on Saturday.
Is he?
Yes.
Not happy.
I think he's going to unleash hell. Have a listen to this.
Father to a murdered son. Husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
He's not finished yet, Gary. He wasn't happy with those plastic seats last night.
He must have had bad seats.
That was shocking, plastic seats.
Well, Brian wasn't there last night, but I know that he watched it. He's a two-time New York Times best-selling author. As people would know him here in Australia, well-known NBA reporter for ESPN. He's a former Cleveland Cavs beat writer. You can hear him on The Ringer as well. Great pleasure to talk to Brian. Good morning and welcome to Australia, Brian.
Good morning. Yeah, the thing about it is when you play basketball in football stadiums, you tend to run into problems. And I see that the first time around doing that, everybody sees why it's such a bad idea.
Oh, there was a big, big crowd there last night, though, Brian. I think they loved it. I mean, the feedback we got this morning is they loved it. What did you think about the game itself?
Yeah, well, you're never going to get a good game playing on a court like that. That's a raised court with a crazy background. You know, we do it for our college basketball national championship, and you always see bad basketball. So the scoring is always down in environments like that. But, yes, you're able to get 50,000 people into the building, so that's a positive. But the environment's not great for basketball. You know, the game very much went the way many games for the U.S. will go. And that is, if the U.S. team makes their outside shots, they will be the best team in the world. In the first half, they didn't make that many. In the second half, they made a bunch, and they won. And when they play again tomorrow, it's very possible the U.S. will have a bad shooting game, and the Aussies could easily beat them. This is not an unbeatable team. They're very much reliant on that guard play and that outside shot. But if they make them, they're pretty good. You saw that in that second half especially.
Brian, were we terribly naive when this match was first promoted? The suggestion was come and watch the US team and see Harden and Curry and Westbrook and all these sorts of players. So all of us starved Aussies went and rushed and bought tickets and thought how good it's going to be. The reality is that this is far from the best team the US could put out on the court. Were we a bit naive, suggesting we might have seen those players?
Yeah, it's been disappointing for us too. This is by far the most top players who've pulled out in the era where the NBA players can go. There's only two All-Stars on this roster. Very unusual. It's not unusual for it to be more younger. You don't always see the older stars play on the World Cup teams. But the overall star power is way down. There's been a lot of debate here in the U.S. as to why that is. Some of it is now that the World Cup is now 1 year removed from the Olympics, and the top players don't want to give up back-to-back summers. That's reasonable. The other thing is the NBA schedule is it now starts in September. The training camp is in September. It used to be in October. So if you commit to doing this, you go all the way up almost to the start of training camp. And then the third thing is players just are worried about injury. So this is concerning, especially because, you know, there is a lot of pride there has been for Team USA. Last summer, they got together for a training camp just to sort of get to know each other a little bit. And Kevin Durant was at that camp. Obviously, he's hurt, but Durant was there. Paul George was there. James Harden was there. This is a disappointing turnout. I agree, but it also gives the other countries an opportunity. This is a weaker U.S. team. If you're going to beat them, this is the time to do it. And if you beat them, it's not like anybody's going to take it away from you. You get the medal. You get the medal.
Hey, Brian, you mentioned Kevin Durant there, and I heard you talking on a podcast the other day on The Ringer about this, the fact that Kevin Durant probably exploded on the NBA scene after having played for America at a World Cup. And do you see a player in the American team right now capable of doing that?
Well, I think Donovan Mitchell is the guy that we're all watching. You know, this is a guy who is not yet regarded as one of the top players in the league, but his everything that he does in his game leads me to believe he's going to be a great player. Last summer, he was injured, and he wasn't able to participate in much, and he got off to a slow start in the NBA season last year because of it. I'm sure the Aussie fans follow him because he plays on Joe Ingles' team, but he had a better back half of the season. He is the type of guy who could have an explosive tournament and be a guy who in 3 or 4 years you say, oh, you said there was no superstars on that U.S. team, but what about Donovan Mitchell? He could turn in that kind of player.
Brian, speaking of Brian Windhorst, who's well known to all sports lovers here in Australia, you've also got an unbelievable affinity with LeBron James. You've written books about him. Your latest one, LeBron Inc., The Making of a Billion-Dollar Athlete. What's his attitude towards playing for the U.S. team?
I think he's done. You know, he played a number of years in the early. He played the 2004 Olympics in Greece, where the U.S. team had the disappointing bronze. He played the 2006 World Cup in Japan, which is also a bronze. He played 2008 in Beijing, which they won, which is known here in the U.S. as the Redeem Team, where they came off the two bronzes to get a gold. He played in 2012 in London. So he played four different times for the U.S. team at three different Olympics. He didn't play at Rio in 2016. His summers are very full. In fact, right now he's filming a movie, Space Jam 2. And his team, the Lakers, is so big internationally, he doesn't have to seek that extra attention. So, for example, you know, going to China is a huge deal for these players who have shoe contracts that want to get the Chinese fans. Mm. Well, LeBron and the Lakers are coming to China to play exhibition games in October. So I just don't know if LeBron feels the need to do it anymore. So I think you've probably seen him play his last international basketball.
Hey, Brian, you know him well. You know his manager, Rich Paul, really well. That whole Clutch Sports, it appears that it's almost got a stranglehold on the NBA now. What's the end play for somebody like LeBron James? What do you see him doing, or where do you see him in, say, 20 years' time?
Well, I think he wants to be relevant after his basketball career ends. That's the challenge for a great athlete. Some people have been able to do that. You know, Michael Jordan has gone on to become a billionaire and an owner of an NBA team. Shaquille O'Neal is very much on American television, involved in many business enterprises. He wants to extend his window of having influence, power, and earning money. And so one of the reasons I think he went to the Los Angeles Lakers, he's got three championships, and that doesn't compared to Michael Jordan's six, but he feels like his career has been, his expectations have been met. He certainly continues to want to win, but he is thinking about the long term. He wants to make movies. He wants to produce television shows. He wants to own media companies. He eventually wants to be a sports team owner. That may be the NBA. That may be an English football team or some sort of European football team. It may be something else, but he wants to extend his influence. And, you know, there have been guys like Kobe Bryant who's trying to do that a little bit now. He won an Oscar for making a documentary within a couple of years of himself retiring. So that's the big challenge if you're a franchise-type player in the U.S. is to extend that window beyond your playing day.
I mean, the NBA right now is probably as popular as it's ever been, if not more popular than it's ever been. Has there been a slight power shift here in the game with the players taking a lot more control, and is that how you're reading it? Is that a concern, do you think, for the NBA, or do you think they're playing along with this?
Well, no, I definitely think it's a basic thing of the game. In a five-player game, where there's 10 players on the court and five players on one team, a great player will have more power than in other sports, more power than you'd have on a soccer team, more power than you'd have on an American football team, more power than you have on a baseball team. So that in some ways it's a miracle it's taken this long for the great players in basketball to realize that. So I think that's a natural evolution. But it's a star system. If you're a great player, you're going to be able to have great opportunities. You're going to have great power. Where I think the NBA is in a challenge, and I do think this will spill over to other leagues, is there is so much interest right now in the palace intrigue, the who wants to demand a trade, who's going to go somewhere in free agency. And then so much is focused on the playoffs that the average regular season game, January evening when the Hawks play the Pacers, that's the game that is suffering. The regular season television ratings are going down, interest in the mundane games themselves are going down. And that's the bedrock of where the league is successful. There's 30 cities. You have to have 30 teams. It only works if you could make that work. And that's a concern for the league right now. And one of the other things that's happening is the players are taking more rest. They're taking games off. And, you talked about last night, some of the fans being disappointed that they bought a ticket and were not able to see the best players. Well, the same thing happens. You buy a ticket. LeBron comes to town in some of the U.S. cities once a year. Mm. The Warriors, Steph Curry, comes to once a year. And if that happens to be a night that they choose to take off, what do you say to the fan when the player isn't injured and he just is taking a rest? So there's a big push in the NBA right now about maybe reducing the amount of games. There's an idea of moving to more of the soccer model, which is that you don't just play for the NBA championship, but you may have other trophies that you would play for during the year to spice up the rest of the schedule. It's something that the league is struggling with as it grows in popularity around the globe.
Yeah, that is fascinating stuff. It is the same thing that we wrestle with here with our Australian rules football competition as well, Brian. Quickly, LeBron James was he 34? He has a son who we're told is showing enormous promise. Is there some suggestion that he's trying to hang on and potentially play with his son in the NBA?
He would love to do that. He's thought about that for the last few years. But I have to tell you, having covered the NBA for almost 20 years now, it's very hard to look at a 14-year-old, which is how old his son now is, and say, that's going to be an NBA player. Mm. His father, LeBron, he knew he was going to be an NBA player by 16. But he was the greatest high school player most people have ever seen. We're talking about a 1 in a billion type of athlete. I don't know if his son is going to be good enough to make the NBA. Maybe if we come back and talk in 2 years, we'll say absolutely. In 2 more years from now, they'll be playing together. But LeBron's hoping for it, but it's just too young. It's too early to know. He's a beautifully talented young player, Bronny. He doesn't go by LeBron. He goes by Bronny. He's fun to watch. I hope he does well, but I hope that the decisions are made for the best of him and not to force him into expectation.
Hey, Brian, it's been great talking to you this morning. Before we let you go, there was a tweet out yesterday, a report out somewhere yesterday, that Ben Simmons has been working on his step-back three-pointer in pickup games. How interested should we be in the fact that he's been able to hit a three-pointer in a pickup game?
Well, he doesn't even take three-pointers. I'd be just impressed with him to start actually to shoot them, because at least if he shoots them every now and then, you have to guard him out there. He's a fabulous player. He's going to have a great NBA career. That's why the 76ers gave him that enormous contract. But he has got to develop. He cannot be a finished product. He knows that. I don't care if he steps back. I don't care if he shoots it underhanded. He just needs to make one or two of those a game, and he'll be in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, Brian, it's a great pleasure to have spoken to you this morning. We get real-time feedback as we're going, and there's so many people that enjoy hearing your voice on our radio station. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, and it was very impressive to see all those fans at the game, and they're all going to come again tomorrow. And I have great belief in the spirit of the Boomers and their chances at a medal both this summer and next summer.
That means a lot. Thanks a lot, Brian. Brian Windhorst joining us there. And what a fantastic chat that was with the man. You're bringing some very good guests to the Table Whispers. I'm enjoying what you're doing here. And as one of our text messages says, or actually on Twitter, well done. Don't mess around with people and guests that have some idea. Get the people that are immersed in it. Great get.
One of the very best basketball voices out there in the world, Brian Windhorst, this morning. And also still getting a lot of great feedback about your performance on the front bar last night. Best show of the year. This is from Keith out there, and that's saying something. So you've impressed a lot of people last night, Gary. Well done to you.
Get on you, Timmy. SEN Breakfast.
Big pat on the back to you.
Righto. There's a smacking coming somewhere. The greatest luxury adventures on earth, Abercrombie and Kent. We've done a lot of basketball. We've got some footy. We've got the last round of the AFL season is upon us. It starts tonight at the MCG between the Magpies, who are just starting to get things right, and an Essendon side who will play finals footy. But gee whiz, have they taken a hit? We'll talk about that and more after the break. The greatest luxury adventures on earth are from Abercrombie and Kent.